Hello, I'm Liz Chambers. Last month, we reported on the apocalyptic worldview of the Christian right. Today, we follow up on that theme. Many progressive thinkers also foresee a coming global crisis, but for them, it's the American empire that's in the crosshairs.
What will be the consequences as fossil fuels become more scarce and more expensive?
We've had this incredible period of 50 years of relative world peace and stability. And I think that it's put the American public into a kind of consensus trance, that the world has always been stable, that there's very little relative danger to us in these things that happen around the world, and that we'll probably prevail in the face of all of these things, and that our so-called economy will just keep on chugging along no matter what.
It's in everybody's interest to maintain the facade that this way of life is normal. This is what we should expect. This is what we should expect for our children. And by golly, we should go out and continue buying and consuming like there's no tomorrow.
In today's show, we examine the premise that America has entered a cataclysmic period of rapid decline. Some of what you will see and hear may be frightening, but this is a reality-based fear, and it can be turned into resistance, action, and power. In the second half of our program, we will show you how American citizens are waking up from their corporate slumber to challenge the status quo.
So, yes, we need a regime change in the United States. We need something that will make American people proud. Can't be proud of a military victory over Iraq. You can't be proud of spending the resources of the government for more military weapons. So I think the American empire is on its way down. And that will be a good thing one day.
As Utney Reader magazine put it, the very failures of those at the top may be empowering the rest of us as their shortcomings demystify authority. Cultural historians such as Morris Berman tell us that civilizations don't collapse overnight. More often, they transform over a period of years or decades. That's a historical trend, however, and not a guarantee.
Those who've been born in or moved to suburbia tend to feel that there's a birthright to the lifestyle they enjoy. There's the three-car garage, the large lawn, the even larger house. Consumption of resources is just something you take for granted and you pay a bill for monthly. That will change, and that will be a jarring change when it comes. It will feel like an ambush.
What are some of the key indicators of a nation in twilight? A widening gap between the rich and poor, a ruling class that no longer answers to the masses, a succession of costly military ventures, and a dumbing down of the population.
The hardest thing to accomplish right now is to get America's attention away from, you know, recreational shopping at the mall and Jennifer Lopez and playing computer games and NFL football and NASCAR.
When the Roman Empire gave way to the Dark Ages in the middle of the first millennium, the warning signs were everywhere. Why didn't citizens try to reverse the situation? Berman says that like a frog being boiled to death in slowly heating water, they may not have realized what was happening. Their government kept them distracted with increasingly violent spectator sports.
There is violent, vicious force.
The Undertaker is like an animal. Son of a, he's broken in half. A madman.
On the far right, conservatives portray any Americans who express concern about the future as unpatriotic pessimists.
We must offer progress instead of stagnation, the truth instead of promises, hope and faith instead of defeatism and despair.
At the same time, top U.S. officials are leading the United States toward a condition of perpetual war. The latest push, a military confrontation with Iran. It's not just Republicans this time. Hawkish pro-Israel Democrats are falling into line with Republican leaders, inflaming friction with Arab nations.
I believe that this grave and gathering danger commands the collective attention, effort, and action of the entire international community.
Nothing worries me more than this deadly combination of terrorism and WMD.
A few cooler heads from both parties spoke out, however, against the increasingly common use of threats and sanctions in place of diplomacy in U.S. policy.
This rhetoric that we're hearing on the House floor from people who I have to say I do respect greatly is eerily reminiscent of the debate in this House prior to the United States authorizing an attack on Iraq. A major U.S. intelligence review has projected that Iran is about a decade away from manufacturing the key ingredients for a nuclear weapon.
Right, but there's been no serious talk that Iran can be a threat to our national security. There is no way. Even if they had nuclear weapons, they're not going to be a threat to our national security. Pakistan, that's not a democratic nation. It happens to be a military dictatorship. They have nuclear weapons.
I ask members to consider that this resolution would put us on the threshold of war.
Here's how a new video game depicts one possible bleak future based on recent events in the U.S.
Following a disputed election and a tie vote, the U.S. Congress installs the most unpopular president in U.S. history as David Jefferson Adams becomes the 44th president of the United States. Shortly after the election, increased unrest, rioting, and a growing number of militias have given rise to ever-increasing domestic terrorism. In response, the president invokes the Homeland Security Act and declares martial law on the West Coast and other areas of the country. Though highly contested, a Supreme Court ruling sidesteps the electoral process, disqualifying popular presidential candidates from several states. Public outrage explodes when a sham election leads to incumbent David Adams accepting a second term in office. During the 57th Inauguration Day ceremonies, Washington, D.C. is struck by a low-yield nuclear weapon, killing David Adams and most of the U.S. Congress.
Other signs of collapse can be found in America's business culture. CEOs' salaries now average more than 200 times that of their lowest-paid employees.
That billionaires have seen a 15% increase in their wealth last year, while there's been an increase in childhood poverty in America, is a moral issue.
Most Americans can sense that the country is headed in the wrong direction, but Washington seems to exist in a different reality. For example, as writer Molly Ivins points out, two-thirds of the public believe we should cut the deficit by cutting Pentagon spending. The response from Washington:
this is an enemy without conscience, and they cannot be appeased.
86% of people favor raising the minimum wage. The establishment's view:
they started at minimum wage. They didn't like it, I'm sure. They learned. They got experience. They delved into it and found out all they could about the business. They wound up owning the business. That's what we want for people.
80% of citizens say we should do whatever it takes to protect our environment. The Cheney-Bush plan:
Congress needs to look at the facts and to send the president a bill that includes exploration of ANWR for the sake of the nation.
Politicians and bureaucrats on the right have learned that they can silence the docile media simply by saying nothing.
The vice president has not given very many. I can't remember the last time he actually gave a press conference.
There are still operational matters that are very sensitive, and we are not going to get into talking about those publicly.
They say simply, Paula, that the information, that the program, the National Security Agency surveillance program, is so sensitive that they simply will not give up at that information.
In the skull and bones atmosphere of secrecy in which the Bush administration operates, even U.S. senators are treated as unwelcome intruders. They rarely get a straight answer.
My question to you, sir, was that statement factually accurate when the president made it?
As the chairman said earlier, there's going to be a briefing by Judge Gonzalez.
Have you ever authorized the leak of classified information,
Senator,
to the press?
I'm not going to talk about something that arises in the context of an investigation.
So I would ask you today, is it in fact the policy of this administration not to have permanent basing in Iraq?
Senator, our job now is to use our forces to help the Iraqis gain control of their own security environment.
How far does this fraternity of spying and secrecy go? The New York Times reports that the CIA has been quietly reclassifying documents that had been made public. Remember the Total Information Awareness Program? Congress ordered this intrusive Department of Defense surveillance program canceled in 2003.
The press has reported intelligence officials saying that those programs run by Mr. Poindexter, I and others on this panel led the effort to close it. We want to know if Mr. Poindexter's programs are going on somewhere else. Can anyone answer that? Mr. Mueller?
I have no knowledge of that, sir.
Any other panel members?
Senator, I'd like to answer you in closed session.
General Hayden's response suggests that the program may still exist in secret. It's hard to know anymore whether any official statement is true.
The force feeding that apparently has taken place there has taken place within those guidelines. He's satisfied
with
that.
Well, I think that you've heard from military commanders about the steps that they are taking, and he's made it very clear that we do not condone torture and we do not engage in torture. That has been our policy, and that remains our policy.
In contrast to those statements, a United Nations team reports that prisoners at Guantanamo Bay are indeed being tortured. They say the facility should be closed. A local TV news team tracked down the man who invented the restraining chair used at Guantanamo.
An Iowa sheriff is concerned over how the U.S. military is using the restraint chairs he invented and manufactures.
The New York Times reports the chairs are being used to force-feed U.S. prisoners who are on hunger strikes.
Our chair is not designed to be used for punishment. It's designed to help control violent detainees so that they don't hurt themselves or others.
Lawyers who have visited clients there recently have criticized the chair as abusive.
They would strap people to a chair, strap them all up, put a mask basically on them, what I'm told, hold their head back, and force tubes in and take them out at the end of each feeding.
We'll be right back.
The government is consistently trying to undermine the remaining protection that the Fourth Amendment provides.
Amendment 4, secure against unreasonable searches and seizures. So you know what that is? That sounds like let's waste some time, and we don't have time to waste. That means you have to go to court. That means you need a judge. I don't think so. Just an abridgment there. I never noticed that. I think we've got a new modern Bill of Rights.
The average literacy and knowledge of the U.S. public continues to decline. In response, Republican leaders hope to cut educational aid even further, money that will be redirected to tax cuts for the wealthy.
This year, my budget will cut it again and reduce or eliminate more than 140 programs that are performing poorly or not fulfilling essential priorities.
Here are some shocking statistics about U.S. literacy and historical amnesia. 60% of Americans have never read a single book. Only 6% read one or more books per year. 63% of the public believes human beings existed at the same time as the dinosaurs. They're off by 60 million years. 91% of Americans can't tell you what a molecule is. Another warning sign of an empire in collapse, Berman says, is the replacement of art with shameless kitsch. Throw in some right-wing Christian militarism, and you end up with something like this.
How can we exist apart from God? He saved us from each peril, led through every path we've trod, and we take our stand for freedom under God.
Despite all of the bad news, resistance to the right-wing takeover of government is taking shape. In February, for example, more than 80 evangelical leaders spoke out in support for decisive U.S. action on global warming.
We're concerned because as we look at what the scientists are telling us that the impacts are going to be on the poor and the most vulnerable around the world, and so we want to make sure that these folks are not hurt by global warming.
Mainstream Christians nationwide also have proclaimed their support for the science of evolution. In Ohio, the State Board of Education rejected efforts to make creationism part of biology classes. Other flashes of resistance can be found all over America. Local communities are taking the fight to protect their civil liberties into their own hands.
I really urge you to have the courage to pass this resolution, which opposes the portions of the Patriot Act that are against the Constitution, that are against our rights under the Bill of Rights.
Motion carries unanimously.
Over 380 communities around the country have passed these resolutions, representing over 55 million people.
On the national level, a powerful movement toward impeachment of the president is gaining ground. New tactics and new allies are coming on board, including candidates for the 2006 Congress and Senate.
He has introduced a bill, House Resolution 635, H. Res. 635, that would create an investigation to make recommendations on impeachment. This is the first step that was taken for Clinton and for Nixon. It was recently discovered that there's another way you can get to impeachment. A state legislature, without a governor, without a Congress member, can send charges of impeachment to the House of Representatives, and that includes occupied territories, not just states.
There's a political rebellion smoldering in the southern and western states, too.
When Reagan became president, I think that's when I turned Republican.
But that could change, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could change again.
The people out there in the countryside, the so-called red state people, they're not dumb. If political candidates tell the truth to people about how the Patriot Act destroys half of the Bill of Rights, tell the truth about how the Republican Party is handing over government to the moneyed elite, lock, stock, and barrel, you'll see these so-called red states turn around quicker than you can even think about it.
The United States is not the soil between Maine and California. It's not a flag, it's not an army, and it's certainly not George Bush. The United States is an idea, it's a philosophy, and that philosophy is found in the Bill of Rights.
You can find other examples of dissent on the inside pages of almost any daily newspaper. At Georgetown Law School, for example, students turned their backs on Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez when he tried to justify illegal wiretapping. Many people want to know what action they can take to help steer the United States away from the dark future mapped out by the neoconservative hawks in Washington. Noam Chomsky says the answer is simple.
I mean, at this point, the crises that are close, like nuclear war, which is right on the horizon, or environmental catastrophe, or the collapse of democratic processes, those are all really serious. And you can do anything you want about it. The choice is, the question is to do it.
Of course, no amount of action will prevent us from running out of oil in the coming years. But even that scenario holds the seeds of positive change if we begin to take action now.
In North America, I think that we're going to have to downsize and downscale everything we do. Everything from farming to education to the way we deploy ourselves in living in the landscape, sports. You know, everything that we do is going to have to be made smaller. The age of the 3,000-mile Caesar salad is coming to an end. We're going to have to grow more food closer to where we live around our towns.
That's all for today's report. Kevin Quinn is coming up next to give the Democratic Party a scolding he says is long overdue.
Go to your computer right now and Google this phrase, Democrats fear. It's enough to make you sick. Democrats fear a filibuster. Democrats fear this. Democrats fear that. No wonder they come across as wimps. For example, who the heck is this guy? Now, I have nothing against Tim Kaine, but what alternate universe is the Democratic Party living in? When even Jon Stewart compares the Democratic first responder to Liberace, it's pretty clear that the party train has jumped the track. What a setup for the corporate media pundits.
Tim Kaine of Virginia for a response to the President's State of the Union. Kaine kept it plain.
I want to offer some good news tonight. There is a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way.
Somewhere in Hollywood, a screenwriter must have been proud.
I say, there's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
Better way. Better way. Way, way, way.
As political and movie buffs know, that was Robert Redford in the 1972 movie The Candidate. Maybe he should give the Democrats next State of the Union response. I'll be right back.
That's not good-humored laughter. It's ridicule. And Democrats deserve it, especially the ones who have kept silent for 5 years as the Bush administration and Republican Congress have trampled on our Constitution. I'm talking about Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Joseph Lieberman. They should get out of the way and let some Democrats with guts take charge. Imagine if the Democrats had responded to Bush's State of the Union address with courage and a plan.
My fellow Americans, good evening.
My fellow Americans, good evening.
I'm Tim Kaine, the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
I'm John Doe, a Democratic congressman.
And it's an honor tonight to give the Democratic response to President Bush.
It's my privilege to give the Democratic response to... Wait, this doesn't feel honest. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go off script.
Keep the cameras rolling. Take two.
I'm ashamed to say that I have been a member of this Democratic Congress. Tonight, I hope to wash away some of that shame.
Our federal government should serve the American people. But that mission is frustrated by this administration's poor choices and bad management.
Our government has been hijacked by liars, hypocrites, and callous men with little regard for human life.
I want to offer some good news tonight.
In Iraq alone, the blood of 100,000 civilians has stained our hands.
There is a better way.
All the while, the Democratic Party, my party, has been polishing the boots of would-be dictators.
As Americans, we do great things when we work together.
We will no longer act as co-conspirators in the dismantling of America.
It's all about bringing people together to find common sense solutions to our common problems.
Concerns about fraudulent elections have destroyed any possibility of real bipartisanship in Washington. We have no faith in the fairness of the system. Effective immediately, Democrats will boycott all other business in Washington until major election reforms are enacted by law.
You know, no matter what political philosophy you hold or what state you call home, you have a right to expect that your government can deliver results.
Republicans in Washington have raped our environment, looted our treasury, and poisoned our global reputation. They have robbed our children of money for education, played guitar as our citizens drowned, and rolled out the red carpet for oil barons and war profiteers, all the while claiming to do the work of God.
The president called again tonight for our commitment to win the war on terror and to support our troops. Every American embraces those goals.
Instead of a war on terror, we will wage a war on fear. We will face foreign threats with the wisdom and resolve of John F. Kennedy, not the mindless violence of the Terminator. We will stop fueling hate and build new friendships with other nations, no matter what the color of their skin or what God they worship.
Democrats are leading that reform effort, working to restore honesty and openness to our government, working to replace a culture of partisanship.
Talk is cheap, but we have a plan. Starting the day after the midterm elections, the new Democratic majority will move into action. Our five top priorities. First, to enforce the law. Congress will file articles of impeachment against George W. Bush for high crimes against the United States. Second, to end corruption. Campaign financing will be completely overhauled and clean election funding on the federal level will become a reality. Third, to address global warming, the United States will take its rightful place as a world leader on environmental issues. Fourth, to restore fairness. Instead of robbing from the poor to subsidize the rich, we will raise taxes on the rich and create a just tax system. And finally, to fix health care. Democrats will insist on a universal health care system accessible to all Americans.
Tonight, we pray earnestly and humbly for that healing.
Prayer alone will not restore America to greatness. Hard work is needed, not just from us, but from all citizens. We have sworn an oath to defend this nation. We are the sons and daughters of liberty, and arrogance, greed, and religious bigotry are the wolves in our midst. It's time to fight for what is right. Democracy has awakened.
I know what you're thinking. Democrats like that don't exist. You're wrong. Russ Feingold of Wisconsin gave Gonzo the torture hell last month. Patrick Leahy was right there beside him. Boxer, Kennedy, Harkin, Murpho, Ryan, these Democrats have been fighting the good fight all through the dark days of the Bush cabal. But the real sign that the tide is turning happened when about 40 military veterans, all Democrats running for Congress, stepped forward to tell the Republicans their days are numbered.
The time has come for people of integrity like yourselves to put our country right again.
Yeah. We all defended the Constitution with our lives, and now we see the rights that it's guaranteed by that Constitution now in jeopardy.
Government by and for the people.
Our mothers and fathers are lining up for Medicare, and our children are lining up to die.
And to clean up the corruption and bring honor and integrity back to this house.
Bring honor back to this country.
It's time to trash this policy of preemptive war.
That the American dream is slipping through the hands of average, hardworking American.
I'm running for Congress because our country is headed for shallow waters, and we don't want our country to run aground.
And I'm running to bring health care to every single American.
We need better fiscal discipline and better legislative oversight to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
We're going to infuse this institution with moral courage that'll get our country back on track.
I'm running because this country is ready for a change. We need candor, courage, and commitment.
Because we need to take the hill back. And those of us that have fought for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we know that the principles embodied in those documents are to be cherished and honored and defended.
Our president will stand in front of any group of veterans, but we know he will stand behind none of us.
It's not just a change in direction in Iraq. It's a change in direction at home for affordable health care, energy independence, and helping out working class families.
As a Vietnam veteran, I'm very concerned about the state of our democracy and the corruption which exists in this town.
I can tell you that I know what it's like to carry the lifeless body of a 19-year-old soldier off the battlefield.
Remember, there's no reason to be afraid. You're not alone. I'm Kevin Quinn. We'll see you next month. Liberty News TV depends on the generous support of our viewers.